My name is Darren Kaster. Today I will be speaking to Liz Marshall and Joanne MacArthur. They are both collaborating on a variety of projects, mostly which we'll be talking about today is The Ghosts in Our Machine. Welcome, Liz Marshall.
Hello.
And welcome, Joanne MacArthur.
Good afternoon.
So we're going to talk a little bit about The Ghosts in the Machine and We Animals Project. Why don't we start with The Ghosts in the Machine, Liz, if you want to take it off from there. Just explain a little bit about the photography that people are looking at, the types of shots that you've chosen for your film, and the types of images that you're using.
Sure. The Ghosts in Our Machine is a cross-platform documentary, and it's commissioned by the Documentary Channel. And we're very fortunate because it gives us that, you know, national platform to tell this quote-unquote impossible story of animal rights. And so it's not just a film, it's also a website that's very dynamic and will continue to be very dynamic, including an interactive story by the Goggles, who are the former art directors of Adbusters. And The Ghosts in Our Machine features photographer, animal rights photographer, Joanne MacArthur. And in featuring her story, of course, the film prominently features many of Joanne's photographs. And they are opportunities for the audience to reflect on our relationship to animals.
And so a lot of the images have come from a project, Joanne, that you're working on called We Animals, as Liz was just mentioning. Would you like to just give us a little bit of an idea about where you were sort of coming from, what the intent of the project was?
Yeah, sure. We Animals started over a decade ago when I was taking a closer look at our relationships with animals. A little bit that came about because I started making friends with some chickens. My mom had some chickens, and I would play with them in the yard the way I would play with a cat or a dog. But then I would go inside at night and have chicken for dinner. And I thought, okay, I have learned that animals that we eat actually have just as much personality as the animals that we call pets. So, okay, there's an issue here, and I'm going to look more at that, and I'm going to change my life habits to reflect my beliefs now. Like, I didn't want to be eating these sentient creatures, and I eventually became vegan, and I started incorporating my work into, looking at these animal issues. I started shooting animal issues close to home, you know, just... They're invisible in our lives. They're everywhere. We wear them. We eat them. They're used in research. We use them for entertainment. So all you need to do is just start looking, and all of a sudden they're everywhere. So there's plenty to photograph, unfortunately. But then from there, I started looking at this animal stuff from a more global perspective. So, you know, bushmeat in Africa, bear bile farming in Asia. Unfortunately, the issues are endless. It keeps me very busy, and that's also why I now have an archive of over 10 years of these animal issues.
So just to put for the listener a little bit of context about sort of what we're talking about here today, animal issues in general, just that whole thing there, you get for people who sort of aren't on the inside of that, who aren't already maybe consider themselves activists or enthusiasts or whatever, it can be a very polarizing issue. It doesn't tend to be a group of people who care about it and people who don't. It there tends to be a very large component of people who either don't care about it or think it's not an issue, having quite a problem with people who do. And you could draw a lot of comparisons. But for the sake of that, first of all, we should say that you are both humans.
We're human animals.
Yeah. Liz, you're into moksha yoga, and you're a denim enthusiast, real person. I'm probably liked watching cartoons when you were a kid. And Joanne, you told me you like kale and that your dog's name is Samson.
Correct.
So both real people. This obviously isn't everything that you do. I mean, you're both very, very busy professionals. Joanne mostly as a photographer and Liz as a director. But this is more than a project issue for you is what it seems like from your work. Can you talk a little bit about sort of the social aspect for you and how that your personal relates to your project?
Well, I'm a social issue filmmaker, and I come from a history of making human rights films. And I've traveled all over the world to focus on the plight of the human condition. And then my last film, Water on the Table, focuses on the right to water movement. And when that was done, I realized that it was time to create something new and something different. And animal rights is something I've always been extremely interested in, but had never really delved deeply into it. So the full immersion for me in terms of this particular social issue didn't actually begin until 2010. So what you just said is absolutely true, that there is a almost like a schism or a social dilemma in that people obviously care about people, and increasingly we care about the environment. But there seems to be, although this is shifting, there seems to be less interest, of course, in our fellow animals. And as Joe was mentioning earlier, there's that cognitive dissonance around how we love our pets and we value wildlife. You know, we care about whales and wolves and things like that, and we love our dogs and cats, but we either don't want to know or we just are genuinely ignorant about the billions of animals that are used daily and annually all over the world as objects and as cogs in the machine. So that is what really sparked that kind of huge concept and reality, kind of, and combined with Joanne's photography and her mission on the ground at the front lines as a war photographer, is what inspired the vision behind the Ghosts in Our Machine.
So, Joanne, I'm gonna sort of redirect that to you. So you'll probably still get a chance to say what I wanted to redirect to you on, though, was you came for this. Your photography was the basics for a film, and then that's also its own kind of project as well. For someone who's just looking at your photography, there's a lot of very troubling pictures. You have very emotional shots of very human seeming emotional faces on these animals, and very gory pictures in some cases of slaughterhouses and this sort of thing. What would you say, though, to, I mean, the idea that, I mean, these are very emotional, the trigger for this photography is that it has an emotional reaction in the person who sees it. Mm-hmm. But I could say to you as well that, you know, I wouldn't necessarily like watching videos of people getting surgery, but that doesn't make it a bad thing. So can you sort of address that idea of, you know, what do you mean by this? Yes, it's horrible, but just because we don't want to look at it, does that necessarily mean that we shouldn't be doing it?
Okay, well, I'm going to tie this into what Liz was speaking about just a second ago as well. I think, you know, go into a room of 100 people and say, how many of you love animals? And everyone will put up their hands, or at least, you know, 95% of them will. And we extend that care to animals that are cute, animals that are our companions, animals that are posted as endangered on World Wildlife ads, polar bears and wolves and whales. And there is a safety in caring about these animals, because there's a distance. Like, we can donate $20 and like help this polar bear over there, and it doesn't really affect us. We can show that we care about animals. We can donate to saving the polar bear, and there's a safety and there's a comfort. But looking at the way we treat domesticated animals, animals in entertainment, this is really, really close to home, and it's personal. It's very personal, and we're all involved. And if we take a good look at that, we're all complicit. And that's difficult. So it's much easier to care about these faraway animals or the companion animals, donate to, you know, Humane Society and help these dogs and stuff like that. But, you know, show people gory pictures of what it's like to die in a slaughterhouse or what it's like to be transported, like the pigs that we photograph at Toronto Pig Save, it becomes very personal, and that's hard to digest. People will put their backs up. They will say, you know, make a mockery of it by saying, yum, bacon, you know, things like that. There are all sorts of defense mechanisms. So it is really a challenge in my work to break through the defense mechanisms and question, I don't know, put the right questions forth so that people don't feel attacked and can think about their lifestyles. It's really hard to get people to think about changing their lifestyles, because that's what my work is doing. It's like, you know, look at this suffering, and how are we complicit, and what do we have to do? We can't just donate $20 to Toronto Pig Save. We actually have to think about pig consumption
Now, and Liz, I saw you nodding your head furiously that entire time. Do you want to throw 2 cents in on that?
Well, just because that is, I think, the huge elephant in the room for, I think that's a good metaphor, for all the time. Because that's what Jo does with her work. That's her life's mission, always. And what the film is trying to do is pose the same moral questions that Jo is doing in her photographic images, in her still images. But the film has brought that to life in a different way. And is dealing with that, the core essence of what Jo was just talking about. So that's why I was nodding my head, because it is a complex issue. It's really hard to grapple with. It's cross-cultural, but it has different sort of connotations within the our highly mechanized societies, within the industrialized, the context of the industrialized system. And that's what the film is actually focused on, is urban, transnational, big corporate, the machine, you know, for lack of a better word.
So just to get very specific on the name, you had a description on the website of what you mean by the ghost in the machine. Do you want to just explain that again?
So first of all, it's the ghost in our machine, and the hour is very deliberate, because it's about the whole project is about trying to inspire personal reflection at the consumer level. It's not about someone over there. It's about us. It's about me. And it's about you, and it's not finger pointing and blaming. It's also not about some corporation, right? We are the corporation. So this project, The Ghosts in Our Machine, is saying that animals are hidden in the shadows of our highly mechanized world. And let's shine a light on them. Let's show the world in a way that the world can want to see. And that's the biggest challenge with this project. You know, I've focused on HIV/AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa, and there's resistance to that. But of course, that's much more accessible than people actually wanting to say, hey, let's go and see The Ghosts in Our Machine this weekend and get some popcorn and have a great time. So half of the struggle in making this project and selling it to market partners and getting it out there at the mainstream level has been to come up with a concept that is marketable. And that is, when I say marketable, I'm not talking about business. I'm talking about accessibility. I'm talking about exposure. And the last thing I wanted to do was to invest 3 or 4 years of my life into creating a project that will be marginalized and that no one will see. And so am I answering your question?
Where it was going to go from there was like, you remember films like, for instance, a very, very popular was Food Inc., for instance.
Yeah, great movie film.
I saw a number of times.
Excellent.
I know lots of people got huge, huge traction internationally. Yeah. But there's something that's sort of been, I've colloquially kind of termed the Food Inc. effect, which is that everybody I know saw that film. Everybody I know was thinking about what they were eating for anywhere between 6 weeks and 2 months. And then 85% to 90% of those people went back to doing things exactly the way they were before.
Right.
So as a filmmaker and someone who's put their career into doing social activism, what are the advantages and disadvantages of that medium as far as trying to convince people of a social point?
Well, you have to make it into a campaign. It has to go beyond the screen, which actually I think Food Inc. has been fairly successful. But a good example of a model of a campaign, a film that's done that, is Forks Over Knives. It's done well at the box office level, and it continues to do well. They sell cookbooks, and they've got a whole online component to what they do. And The Ghost in Our Machine is cross-platform, which means that we've got a 6-year plan. This is not just a movie and then I'm moving on to the next project. It's like me and my producing partner, Nina Beveridge, and obviously Joanne MacArthur, because it's what she does. She's not about to stop doing We Animals and move on to some other thing. This is Jo's work. It's her life's calling. So you know, we're in this for the long haul in the sense that, you know, it's always been a dream of mine to be able to know that there's enough resources or to try to find enough resources and support to be able to have a sense of longevity with a project so that you can actually, there's a measurable value to it over the long term. So a film is powerful medium. It's a powerful tool for social change, dialogue, etc. But going beyond that, I think that's why we offer, for example, something called the Ghost Free Journey every other month, which is friendly, welcoming, non-judgmental, online blog where and people sign up for it, but you're chosen through a lottery system. And we have these two online incredible wise women coaches from the U.S. that guide a five-day vegan journey called the five-day ghost-free journey. And every single person that's done it has been an omnivore, and every single one of those people are still on a journey. And we call it a journey because becoming vegan is a solution. It's not the only solution, but it's a journey. You don't just suddenly, some people do, suddenly become a vegan. For me personally, I was vegetarian for 20 years. I only became vegan a year and a half ago through full immersion in the issues. And when I was really allowed myself, because it was the project I was focused on, the Ghosts in Our Machine, to really go there and learn the truth, that was the decision that I made.
When people think of activism, a lot of the time it comes to mind things like PETA and giant public displays of bloody scenes and this sort of thing, sort of shock tactics, you could call it. You could also think of things like Animal Liberation Front and violent action and blowing up animal testing facilities and that sort of thing. How does your work relate to that sort of action? Where do you lie among the spectrum? And then what are also your opinions on that sort of extreme end of animal activism?
Well, the We Animals, the photos from the We Animals project run the gamut. So there's gory stuff in there, but there are a lot of happy stories, positive stories. And in the interest of reaching the broadest possible audience, I have that diversity of tactics and diversity of photography. I'm totally not opposed to the gory stuff, and I'm not even opposed to the gory PETA ads and billboards because they didn't, you didn't like them, but other people will go vegan because of seeing that once. You know, I get emails. I got an email this week from a guy who saw the photo that I took of a baby calf who'd just been removed from her mother. She's in a wheelbarrow. He went vegan when he saw that picture. So, and that's a pretty disturbing picture. So that will move some people, just as some other people will look at the gore and look at the hard stuff and actually just slam the door on that. But they might react to a positive story of rescue and change their, you know, their idea about animals because of that. Interestingly, there's a author named Tim Patcherat, and he wrote a book called Every 12 Seconds. He was doing his PhD on slaughterhouses, and he spent 6 months in a steer slaughterhouse. During that time, he continued to eat meat, and he, seeing all this death and seeing what the animals go through, didn't move him enough to give up eating meat. But then he went to a sanctuary a few months later, and he met a cow named Callie, and he went vegan. And that's what it took, you know. So, so some people need to go and experience rescued animals, go to farm sanctuary, or see photos of rescued animals, and see those close-up photos of their eyes, and experience their sentience, and that will change them. Whereas some people are really motivated and moved by disturbing images, like images of slaughter. So, with We Animals. We Animals is diverse in that way, and I fully support diversity of tactics, whether, you know, it's people handing out pamphlets in a really friendly way or people with bullhorns outside of a fur store, for example, whatever it takes. And as long as we're all out there doing what we do best, I think that that's the best way to create change.
Radical activism is what it helps us evolve as a species all through history. So, you know, I don't advocate for, you know, violence against humans or animals or any of that, you know, or the environment. But I think radical activism is absolutely essential. It's a way for us to wake up. It's a way for us to see. And then there's many forms of activism that are more gentle, that have a different approach, a different voice, different language as a way of disseminating the same values.
I also noticed from your work, and I'll get your comment on this as well, Liz, that you don't specifically kind of outline an outcome. You're talking about some of the issues. You're providing information in a visual form, but as well as in an information format. As far as this is what's going on. This is the stuff you don't see. Mm-hmm. But I didn't notice any. And then therefore, so are you just sort of is the idea that you kind of let people take from it what they want? Are
Absolutely.
You trying to get every single person to be vegan?
What's
the intent?
No. Some activists don't like that about me, that I'm not outspoken about the Go Vegan message at the end. And that's because I don't want people to feel discouraged. If they're not going to go vegan after experiencing stuff from We Animals or the Ghost in Our Machine, they may give up eating pigs and they may, you know, change a few of their lifestyle, consumer habits. And that's a positive change. And I want to support that. So, I mean, sure, I'd love to say go vegan. I don't want everyone to go vegan, but I don't think that's going to happen. And I want to support people in any step that they're willing to take. And so I just kind of let people draw their own conclusions. And if I don't punctuate the work with go vegan and it's left open, they come to me with questions. And it's amazing in my humane education programs. I go into schools and talk about compassion for animals, show them what I've seen, tell the stories, and let them think about them and let them come to me. And it's amazing what they come to me with. What can I do to help animals? What about this? What about that? And then that creates dialogue. And I think that, you know, opens up a world of opportunity instead of saying, this is what you have to do. You have to go vegan or you're a failure.
And I have to say that's as a filmmaker, I really resonate with Joanne's approach. And even just at the micro level, Joanne's images, many of the images actually inspire the same reaction. So the images are not telling you, they're inviting you to consider the lives of individual animals, her access to the animals, and the angle that it's almost always eye contact and at the eye level. And the compositions that illustrate the environment that the animal, the predicament that the animal is in and is surrounded by, which is human dominated, is actually very powerful. And those images of Joanne's are actually what inspired the approach for the film.
So I have one final question I'll get both your comments on, which has to do with the late humanitarian Albert Schweitzer was said to have picked up things like pick up worms off the warm pavement and put them in cool grass. With sort of the idea of, you know, we can't stop all suffering, but that doesn't mean we should stop any. Where do you draw the line? Do microbes count? Do bacteria count? Do spiders count? Where's the line for you?
That's a huge question. I mean, life is suffering. Life is death. Life is birth. The cycle of life. That's a massive philosophical existential question that could be the focus of the entire interview. I don't have an easy answer for that.
I have an answer.
I think.
I take antibiotics when I have parasites, so I do kill the parasites in my gut. That's where I draw the line. That's not vegan. I'm killing the parasites that are in me after I go to South America. But I don't know. For me, it's sentience. It's, you know, why should I choose if an animal can live or die? Like, I don't know what the animal's thinking. And likely the animal is there for his or her own reasons and would like to maintain the life he or she has. So it's not my role to end, you know, step on an ant or crash a worm or kill a cow for food. So benefit of the doubt to them is that they would like to hold on to their life. And it's an easy thing for me to do.
So it's not so much, you know, don't kill cows, but crushing spiders is okay, as just as what Albert Schweitzer was saying. It's almost, you just do as little harm as possible where you can, and every bit counts.
Crushing spiders is definitely not okay.
I agree.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Putting them outside
today
is better.
Or just let them crawl around. They kill lots of flies, right?
Yeah.
So I want to thank both of you very much for joining me today. Of course, that was Liz Marshall, director of the film Ghost in Our Machine. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
And, of course, as well, Joanne MacArthur, who is the photographer behind numerous works, but most recently, We Animals. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.